I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hi.
Happy Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
If you're listening to this, it's not for us.
It's not actually Tuesday. You're right.
No. But I'm manifesting a good Tuesday when this episode releases. So.
Yes. Yes.
We will be having a good Tuesday.
Yeah.
When it comes out.
Yes.
Of course. Why wouldn't it be?
Agreed. Welcome back to the Killer Cuties podcast. I'm KD.
Thank you. And I'm Cassidy.
We're here to talk about the fuck Honeymoon. Is this movie called? Honeymoon. I forgot.
Yeah.
2014 Honeymoon, by the way.
Yeah. Today I had a thought. I was like, what if she doesn't watch the 2014 one? Because I didn't tell you what year. But then I was like, well, I told her who's in it, so.
Don't remember that happening.
That'd be crazy. No? You asked me who was in the cast when you thought that it was a gay honeymoon.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Did you say Rose Leslie?
Mm-hmm. Oh. I think you were so focused on it not being about a gay couple.
Yeah.
That you blacked out the name. Yeah,
that was a real disappointment.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about that still.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have worked with a gay couple, considering what happens in the film, but we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. First, we have news.
Lots of it.
We do. We've got some chunky news for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll start.
Yes.
As we all know, or should know, Hayley Williams of Paramore wrote a song for the soundtrack of Jennifer's Body. It was called Teenagers. And last Thursday, yesterday for us, she dropped the acoustic version of the song on her Instagram. Yes. She sounds flawless, as always.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a fan of her or Jennifer's Body, definitely recommend going to take a listen. She also posted some resources regarding like the current climate crisis, so definitely check those out as well. We're in a constant state of panic here, so, you know, do your part, please.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess she must have a home in LA too. Mm. She's in Nashville and they have like some crazy tornado warnings and tornadoes and flooding.
Wild.
And it's been terrible for Nashville.
There's been tornadoes in the Midwest too, which is more common, but
mm-hmm.
I know even people I know, like cities just, well, towns torn down, but
yeah. Ugh, crazy.
It's devastating.
Anyway, but that's cool. Yeah. The song's really good. You should listen to it. I agree.
Yeah, for sure.
Warner Brothers CEOs Mike DeLuca and Pam Abdi spoke to Deadline this week, or I guess last week if you're listening to this, and have confirmed two new entries to iconic horror movie franchises. Chris Columbus is returning for a new Gremlins film.
Cute.
Yes, and a third Beetlejuice movie from Tim Burton, obviously, is also on the way, which I think we could have guessed that was going to happen.
After the success of Beetlejuice, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, can I tell you two secrets?
Yes.
One, I've never seen Gremlins.
Me either.
Great, okay. And then two, I did not like Beetlejuice. I did not understand why everybody loved it so much.
I still haven't seen it.
You can't convince me that they didn't have three different scripts and they just crammed them all together without choosing one. Like, that is exactly what happened, and no one, even Tim Burton himself, can tell me otherwise.
I believe you.
Thank you.
I just don't feel like we needed another one. The first one was very good.
The first one was a masterpiece.
Yes. So good. I love that movie. But anyway.
Yeah.
I doubt they will call it Beetlejuice. It just doesn't
missed
roll
off
the tongue.
They don't.
You think?
I mean, that's the whole thing, right?
Yeah. The thing is that you can't say it three times. So why would they call it that?
What are they going to call it?
Beetlejuice 3. Beetlejuice 2 Fast,
yeah, I like
Too Furious.
Two Beetles, Two Juice. I like consistency with sequel titles.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay,
and so
yeah.
I would like it to be called Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice X3. If Bodies, Bodies, Bodies could do it, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice can do it.
Yeah. Okay. I like Beetlejuice X3. That's cute.
Beetlejuice X3.
Yeah. Mostly because I'm a Bodies defender, but.
Girl, you and me both.
Yeah.
Defending cool. from who, though? Everybody loves that movie.
That's true. That's true.
Come on.
True, true, true. Well, anyway, both are in really early development. Chris Columbus has been teasing a twisted and dark script for the Gremlins movie since 2017.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, that's like 15 years. Just kidding. It's only 10. It's 8. Whatever.
Math.
We'll see. We'll see how it turns out.
Yeah. Well, next up for me, from another Chris director, Christopher Smith. Mm. What's crazy is my third news, also a Christopher.
Oh, my God.
It's the day of the Chris's. Yeah, anyways, Christopher Smith, his next film is started production. You may remember him. All the way back in episode 97, we talked about his movie Triangle.
Do you remember it? Yeah. I do remember that one. That one was a good one.
Great. Yeah, it's a fun one.
What's her face?
Melissa George.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But his upcoming movie is going to be called Spider Island.
Hell yeah.
It is a horror comedy. Don't worry. And production is now on location in Mauritius. It's going to be following a group of social media influencers who go to the launch of a new hotel on a tropical island where they find, you guessed it, deadly spiders.
Hell yeah, brother. Man, I hope Mr. Beast is in it and we get to watch him die.
I don't want to go anywhere near anything Mr. Beast has done, if I'm being honest. That guy.
Something's off there.
I don't like him. I'll say it.
Sorry, we shouldn't talk shit about the king of YouTube on YouTube, but
that's
we're
true.
Going to.
We're gonna have 14-year-old boys furious with us.
14? Well, younger than that.
12 to 14. That has to be like the range, right?
Yeah, the demographic, the Fortnite demographic.
Have you seen, this is not related to anything except for Fortnite, but have you seen the
Sabrina Carpenter skin?
It makes me want to play Fortnite, if I'm being honest.
We should. Fortnite's fun.
Oh, okay. Well, you just shit on it like 3 seconds ago. So.
No, I shit on the demographic, not the game.
Got it. Fortnite and Mr. Beast go hand in hand then.
Yeah, well, honestly, the best game mode in Fortnite is one of Mr. Beast's game modes, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. My Mr. Beast knowledge is pretty low because I see that guy and I don't like it. Do I have a good reason? Not really. But I don't like it.
Is it my turn now?
Yeah, because I just did the Spider Island.
You did the Spider Island, right. Got it. Okay. Okay, a fun one. A long one. Granular one. You know the black and white photo of the party at the end of The Shining?
Yes.
The one that a friend of ours could coincidentally photoshopped our faces into this morning.
Yes.
Well, the original source of that photo has been located at the Getty Images Holton Archive. A retired academic from University of Winchester named Alistair Spark found the photo's original glass plate negative, and it's from the St. Valentine's Day ball at the Royal Palace Hotel in Kensington. It was, in fact, taken in 1921, like they say in the movie, it was taken in 1921, on Valentine's Day. And I guess they've been looking for this photo forever. They finally were able to identify somebody in it, and then between that and the official set photographer, Murray Close, remembering that they got the photo from Getty, they were able to identify it out of 94 million images in Getty's collection.
Oof.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Anyway, at Getty Archive on Instagram posted the full story, and you can also see images of like the indexing method that they had to go through to find the picture. And there's like a bunch of like handwriting on it from the 50s, 60s, 80s. It's very like cool and old timey. So you should go check it out.
It's interesting to me that like they ever had to search for that. You know what I mean? Yeah. With a movie that's that iconic, with a photo that's that iconic, you would think that anybody at any point of time between now and when that film was released could say, hey, what photo is that? And whoever knows the photo would be like, yeah, it is this, you know?
There's also so many people in the photo. Why isn't there some sort of like folklore of people being like, oh yeah, that's me, or that's my grandma, or that's my great grandma?
Yeah.
You know?
It doesn't seem like a piece of media that should have been almost lost.
Yeah. You know? And for
not
a long
that it
time,
ever,
they
like,
thought
lost.
It was.
It was there, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Very interesting. I thought so too.
All right, last Chris news from me.
Oh yeah, Chris.
Chris, we're back to the Chris's. We're pulling it back. After years of speculation, both director Christopher Landon and star Jessica Roth have confirmed that Happy Death Day 3 is happening.
Hooray!
Yes. For literally since the second one came out, people have been like, is the third one coming? And for a while, there were rumors that it was going to go straight to streaming, and then that got canceled, and then it was just in limbo for forever. But Landon did an interview with Screen Rant recently. He said he's had the idea for the third one for forever. And he said that it actually works better with the passage of time. So that works out nicely since it did get delayed. The working title is Happy Death Day to Us. See, I like that. Happy Death Day. Happy Death Day to you. Happy Death Day to us. This is consistency with sequel titles, and I appreciate that. It is just the working title, though. If that changes, maybe I'll be ranting about that in a year from now. But
we'll see.
Yeah. We don't have a release date yet, obviously, because it just got confirmed. But the past two movies were both released on a Friday the 13th of their respective release years. So maybe this one will follow suit. In that case, I would probably guess that it's not going to come out until 2027 because Friday the 13th, 2026 is in February. So that's a little too soon, I think.
Yeah. Well, those movies aren't really known for their production value exactly.
How dare you say that about a Blumhouse production?
Also, excellent point. They're just pumping shit out right now.
Right now, yeah.
Literally, shit.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We shall.
That's exciting, though. Remember when I incorrectly rated that movie a 5 out of 5?
I do, but I also remember that that was like your first... It was like Katie's first horror comedy that she liked.
Really?
Wasn't it? That was early.
Yeah, not to bring up Bodies, Bodies, Bodies again, but that's my favorite, I think, of the comedies.
That's a really valid answer.
Thank you.
I can't think of, no, Jennifer's Body. But.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I can't think of one I like better. And then I immediately did. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, last news of the day.
Okay.
Last month, the creator of the Star Wars series Andor, Tony Gilroy, told SFX magazine that he hoped to have opened up some canonical concepts in the Star Wars universe with his show. And then he joked that, oh, maybe they might start making Star Wars horror movies. It was a joke. Everybody giggled. It was so funny. Well, it turns out that it might not have been actually that big of a joke because he was on the red carpet for the second season of Andor this week, and Business Insider asked him what he'd like from a Star Wars horror movie if there ever was to be one. And Gilroy interrupted the interviewer to say, oh, they're already doing that.
Yeah. So what is the truth, Gilroy?
Yeah, just tell us the truth. I won't even get into all the possibilities because it could be any number of the rumored projects that are around. He could have misspoke. He could have been joking again. But for now, there's a little bit of hope that there will be a canon Star Wars horror movie.
My question then becomes, do we need a canon Star Wars horror story?
Yes, I think we do.
All right, well,
I love Star Wars.
That answers that.
I
like Star Wars. I'm a new fan, but like I like Star Wars because it is what it is. I don't know how well it would translate to... I mean, obviously, it's space. There's so many space horror movies.
Yeah.
But do I like Star Wars, the concept, if it's a horror thing? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing.
I'd have to see.
I hate Star Wars because it's a Dune ripoff. Literally. Page for page. So, if they totally go away from Dune and now it's horror, it could be fun.
But is it Star Wars still?
Who cares?
All right, should we actually talk about the movie?
I suppose.
All right, I'll give a little rundown.
Yes, please.
Today we're talking about the 2014 Honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
Little overview. A honeymooning bride goes sleepwalking into the woods surrounding a secluded cabin. When she returns, she looks the same, but something about her is frighteningly different. Thank you so much to Google for that very succinct plot overview.
Yes.
The film had its world premiere at South by Southwest and was theatrically released by Magnolia Pictures in September of 2014. However, it was an incredibly limited release. It was released in two theaters originally and only ever was in three theaters at once. So it was very small. About as limited as a limited release can be.
Seriously.
It was directed by Lee Janiak or Janiak. I heard it both ways and never by her. So I don't know how she pronounces it. I did see in the interview, they introduced her as Lee Janiak. So I'm going to say that from here on out, just because it wasn't like corrected in that. But I have heard Janiak as well. It was written by Janiak and Phil Graziade. It stars Rose Leslie and Harry Treadaway. It did have a limited budget. I couldn't find any exact numbers, so I can't tell you exactly how much it was, but it did make around $24,000 at the box office. Again, very limited release. Mm-hmm. It currently has a 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb, a 76% critic score, and a 44% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, so definitely mixed reviews. Now we find out, did we agree with the critics or the audiences?
Mm-hmm. Audiences gave it a 44?
44% on Rotten Tomatoes, on Rotten Tomatoes. 5.7 on IMDb.
That's a big spread between the critics and the audience.
It is.
Probably more critics saw it than audience, though. Based on the release.
Based on the initial release, for sure. Yeah. I won't say which list, but I have two lists that I eventually want to make TikToks out of. Or short-form YouTube videos out of two, which is movies that critics were wrong about and the movies that audiences were wrong about. And I will say this movie is on one of them. But I won't tell you which until we get to the ratings.
Okay.
That'll tell you which one I agree with.
I think I know in my heart of hearts.
What's your prediction?
Audiences are wrong, is what you would say.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll find out, I guess.
We will. You know how hard it was to find videos about this on YouTube that weren't Twilight, the honeymoon scene from Twilight?
No.
Yeah, if you YouTube honeymoon 2014 behind the scenes, it's just the Twilight honeymoon scene, like, over and over. Sprinkled in a
view of this
movie. I
didn't even think about that. I guess because I always type in like honeymoon 2014 interviews and that's what I use. But yeah, I guess that's a really good point. Did you just rewatch Twilight or?
No. No.
What did you ask me?
You didn't see the honeymoon scene from Twilight? Not even one time pop up on YouTube?
No. Well, I don't look at a lot of YouTube stuff because you do. Okay. I do. I always read the articles because I know you're watching the YouTube videos. So I'm like,
That's right.
Between the two of us, we've done our research. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For sure.
But yeah, this was limited release, low budget, indie film. There wasn't a ton of fun facts. We did our best. Mm-hmm.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
I think, so watching this movie, mm-hmm. I feel like this movie did a little bit better what Cuckoo was trying to do.
Okay.
You know?
Kind of.
Because Cuckoo had that sort of, like, shining, like, vibe the, like, about remote. It. Yeah, remote. And then, like, the weird impregnation that didn't really, like, fit in the overall vibe of the film, maybe. I just kept thinking of that movie and
interesting
how it didn't quite hit Cuckoo.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't the biggest Cuckoo fan.
Yeah. It was okay.
I liked the first half, I think.
Yeah.
The bird lady at the end. That wasn't for me. Sorry. Spoilers for Cuckoo.
Yeah.
There's
the bird lady.
Yeah, that part, they lost me in the last half for sure. But all right. I get it. I see the connections there. So to that point, a lot of people put this in that kind of subgenre of pregnancy horror, mm-hmm. which I agree with. I think this feels very much like a message about like the complexities of pregnancy and that kind of outside or alien pressure that comes with it, especially considering Paul's womb comment very early in the film. Mm-hmm. Janiak doesn't think so. She said She didn't know if she would include that in the subgenre because she feels like Bee's identity is changing because of something that happened to her, not because of what's growing inside of her.
Pregnancy definitely happens to you.
Well, it can. I think most people choose to do that.
Well, hopefully. Yeah, but it's still, like, it's something that happens to you.
Yeah,
you
for sure. Go
through it.
Yeah, but I think she meant more of, like, this alien, I guess, encounter that happened to her. And that was just, like, a side effect of that. I think it's very interesting. I don't agree. It's weird to say, like, I don't agree with the director and writer's vision. But
yeah, a little bit.
I think maybe it wasn't intentional, but it definitely reads that way.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah.
We were also, right before we started, we were arguing about, not arguing, discussing nicely, calmly, that this is filed under supernatural horror.
Yeah, just on Wikipedia, like first line of it says Honeymoon is a 2014 American supernatural horror film, which I do not agree with. This is a sci-fi horror film to me.
Yeah, and there was a very clear, like, tangible element to it when he pulled the thing from the place.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it's definitely implied with, like, the lights in the woods and, you know.
Yeah, it feels alien.
Finding her outside, the slime everywhere. Yeah, like it.
Yeah.
And by the end, I mean, it's very clear that that's what's happening, I think. But
yeah,
I just found that interesting because I have never once thought of this movie and thought, oh, yeah, the supernatural movie.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's, like, the shadow vibes.
The shadow vibes.
You know what I mean? Like, there are shadows. You just see the shadow people things and, you know?
I guess, yeah. I could see how you might think it is at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. Till
the bright lights and the tentacle come out.
Yeah, yeah, well.
Yeah. Classic signs.
None of the movies that I think they were inspired by were sci-fi. Shining was one of them. What were the other ones?
The other one was Monsters, which is sci-fi. Monsters 2010. There's like 800 films called Monsters. Was referencing the 2010 one, I believe.
But is it Aliens?
I've never seen it. It's crazy. I don't say that often.
Yeah, seriously.
It's on my list.
Twice today.
Did I?
What was it? Gremlins.
Oh, yeah. Is that really horror, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because you watch it as a kid doesn't mean it's not horror. Land Before Time.
Just because it has a horrifying scene doesn't mean it's a horror movie, Katie.
Several horrifying scenes. That movie's horrifying.
I didn't watch that movie very often. I would think I watched it once when I was a kid.
Oh. My mom tells me constantly about how when you were a kid, I had to throw away your VHS of Land Before Time because you kept hitting me with your head, like Sarah, the Triceratops. And
oh, no. My sister liked that movie and she liked Lion King. And both of those, I think I only ever saw once. Too sad. I didn't like them. I was a very, very emotional child. And they just, I didn't like it. I didn't like it one bit.
Yeah, that's fair, I guess. Yeah. Lion King 1 is traumatizing as a child.
It is. And I didn't want to watch a movie and be sad.
And now, that's all you do.
Now I watch movies specifically because I'm sad and I want to make it worse.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, we talked a bit about the inspiration. Lee Janiak also approached this from a lens of, like, authenticity, she says. She said that they approached each scene with the mindset of how would I actually react if this was happening to my brand new wife? I think they sort of got that. I think there was sort of like a, you know, Paul was, you know, confused, and then he was kind of jealous at one point, and then he just got really angry, and then he sort of just fell apart. I think that's a natural progression of how you would respond if you're losing the person that you love that you thought you were going to start the rest of your life with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Reasonable. I think he was reasonable to react the way he did.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know Janiak had also said that they left a lot out of the character details when they were writing it because they wanted to leave room for the actors to come in and really make them real and make them three-dimensional people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that worked out as well.
Sure.
And probably added to that.
Yeah. I will say that Rose Leslie, who I love,
mm-hmm.
did, I think there was a little bit of overacting
In
the first third of the movie.
I thought you were going to say the accent.
Oh, I mean, I knew she was hiding it, but.
I hadn't, the first time I watched this, I had no idea who either of them were.
Oh.
Because I still had never seen Game of Thrones, and I didn't watch, I think, Downton Abbey is the other show she did.
Yep, the big show that she did.
And I don't know anything about Harry Treadaway to this day. So
same.
I didn't know either of them, and I immediately was like, these people are not American. It's like something is off. And it's, they're the way that they're saying words.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they still did a good job. It's just, immediately I was like, no.
Yeah. I did know her from Game of Thrones, obviously. So I just let it slide, I guess, because I knew she was hiding it.
Yeah. I feel like that can influence it. Like when you know that they already have an accent, you're like, am I hearing it or do I just know that they have one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Downton Abbey and Game of Thrones, she was handpicked by the writer and director due to her performances in those two films.
Okay.
I mean, shows.
I feel like Game of Thrones was so big. Both of those shows were so big.
Yeah, why is she making this little tiny movie?
Yeah. Can you imagine your first movie, low budget indie film, and you just reach out and you're like, hey, Rose Leslie, star of Game of Thrones. Well, not star, but one of the stars of Game of Thrones and Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Do you want to be in my movie?
Married to the star of Game of Thrones. Like the star of Game of Thrones. I don't know if they were married at that point, but.
Who's the star of Game of Thrones?
Kit Harington.
Oh, Mr. Snow.
Correct. Jon Snow.
Yeah, I know all about Game of Thrones.
I love when people get into Game of Thrones and they just tell you like what episode they're on based on what happens in the episode.
Mm.
Ugh, that's like one of my favorite things.
Yeah. I've seen one episode.
Which?
I don't know. There was a big fight. Someone was trying to hold a door closed. And then.
That episode's called The Door.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I think so.
All I know was, I think it was, there was like a giant. And I grew very attached to him very quickly. And then he died. Hodor. And I was like, this isn't for me.
Hodor. Well, Hodor's in before that. And that's far along.
I have no idea what season I watched. So.
I feel like that's pretty far along. And it could not be called The Door. I could be making that up completely.
Okay.
But
it's one of those shows where I'm like, I know eventually I'm going to watch it because it seems up my alley of something I would like. But two things. One, it's like really difficult to want to watch a show that you know has like, what, 7-8 seasons? Like that's daunting already.
Yeah, sure.
And then two, it's even more daunting when you know that every single person in the entire world, including everybody who worked on it, hated the ending. Like it's like, do I really want to sit through all of this just to be mad with everybody else? Or could I just sit over here in my ignorance and be happy?
Yeah, that's so fair.
Yeah, thank you.
That's fair. I didn't hate the ending as much as some people did.
Yeah.
It was not a perfect ending. And now we're sitting here with our fucking thumbs up our asses waiting for the book to come out so we know what actually happens at the end.
Well, didn't they talk to him? Didn't he like tell them? Because he thought he was going to die before it finished?
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if he was like...
I could have swore I've read that. I might be spreading lies and malicious rumors right now. But I could have swore that he was like having a health issue. And so he like was telling the showrunners how to end it because he didn't know if he was going to be able to finish.
Okay, well, I might have made that up.
Please tell us in the comments if I made that up or not.
Yeah, let this be a lesson to not listen to a dying author's wish for the end of their TV show, because holy shit.
You know what would be the best move he could do, though, is change it now. Now that he saw everybody's reaction, he could just be like, I didn't tell them that, and then just change it.
That's
what I'd do, because I'm petty.
We're hoping that the ending is different, because it strays from the books pretty significantly. And yeah. I honestly shouldn't be talking about it because the only book that I've read is the one that House of the Dragon is based off of, which is like a whole other thing. The book that House of the Dragon is based off of, I forget what it's called, is literally just a history book. Like, we were listening to it on a trip to like New Mexico or something, and it's like, oh, this person, the son of this person, did this and this and this, and then this person, son of this person, and daughter of blah, 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 blah. It's literally like a dictation of a family tree, and we're like an hour into it, and I'm like, when is this prologue going to end? And that's the whole book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Somehow, we listened to the whole thing, and it was very interesting, actually. But
well, there you go.
Yeah.
Anyways.
This is a Game of Thrones podcast now.
This is now. Tune in next week when we talk about the first episode of season 1 of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen every episode of Game of Thrones and Cassidy has seen none of them.
Oh, how the turntables. Okay, what were we talking about? Writing it, Rose Leslie, all that kind of stuff. I'm just going to hop in here then. When they were writing it, they knew that their intent was to make a movie, which, like, you think, duh, right? You write a script to make a movie. But yeah. A lot of the times, scripts do not get made into movies.
Yeah, that's fair.
When they wrote this, they were like, no budget or high budget, we are making this movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when they were writing, they were very aware of the fact that most likely they would have severe budget constraints. So they tried to limit the amount of actors, the amount of sets that they use, and you can definitely see that in the movie. It's very... two actors for 90% of the movie, one to two locations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they just tried to use those and also try to use those to their advantage, which I think, like, location and acting, like, it worked.
Yeah.
It actually reminded me very much of Saw.
Weird.
Like, when they decided to write it, they did the same thing. They were like, we're going to make this into a movie. We won't have any budget to work with, so what can we do with one room? And that's how they wrote Saw. So yeah. It does kind of make sense. They're like limited people, limited locations. What can we do with that?
Okay, that's fair, yeah.
Yeah,
and to your point, this was a single location. It was shot over 4 weeks.
Mm.
They shot it in Flat Rock, North Carolina. And apparently, after they arrived, someone said, North Carolina doesn't have any natural lakes, so good luck on your movie. And that's not true at all. That caused a huge moment of panic for everybody. But they were obviously able to find a lake in a small town. And conveniently, they were able to house the whole crew there while they filmed.
Ooh, that's nice.
And to save even more on budget, I mean, I don't know if this is why they did it. But they did do it for, like, the feel of the cabin. But the furniture and the decor of the cabin that they shot in is from the cabin that they shot in. They didn't update the set or anything.
That works. If it works for the set, go for it.
Yeah. They wanted it to feel lived in, and I'm sure that saved budget.
Those beds, though. I'm kidding. Obviously, they probably did not use the beds, but...
Yeah, and the sheets, probably.
You would think. You would hope. That'd be crazy. Can you imagine? You get back to your cabin, there's just a blood-soaked mattress everywhere.
Ew.
Gross. I'd be like, you can have it, actually. I'm good.
Yeah. Also, this is tangentially related. In the Wikipedia, they called it goo. I did not like that.
The goo.
Yeah, I mean, it was very much goo, but, like, did we have to use that word?
Is that better than slime?
No. Yeah.
Slime.
No, slime is better.
Slime is better than goo.
I would have preferred slime. Yeah. Okay. Like, her clothes were covered in, like, a slimy substance. Yeah, that makes sense. Goo. Her clothes were covered in a goo. I think that's actually what bothered me, is that the article A was in front of the word goo. Is a goo.
Covered with a goo.
A goo.
A goo. It sounds like an appetizer.
Yeah, or like a cleaning supply.
This was partially inspired by Janie X's childhood. She Yeah, well, not in the way that you think. In every normal thing about this movie, that's what was inspired by.
Got it.
She grew up in a cabin by the lake in Canada.
Okay.
That's what it was. But she said she definitely kind of tried to model the set after her childhood cabin. And her parents went to that cabin for their honeymoon. Obviously, that part wasn't taken for this film. She said her parents watched it and said, no, that's not what happened.
Yikes.
Yeah, which you would hope. That'd be kind of crazy if she was like, no, this is what happened on my parents' honeymoon.
Well, then where did she come from?
Exactly.
We need to circle back to Rose Leslie for a second.
All right. There's only like three people to talk about in this movie, so yeah, we can do true. That anytime you'd like.
Yes. Yeah. She claimed that the birth scene, which we just touched on with the bloody sheets, was the most difficult scene to film, which fair, very fair. She also said that this project was really appealing to her because it was so different from a production standpoint than her previous work on Downton Abbey and Game of Thrones. Both of those are huge shows. Like, the scale of them are significantly larger, with tons of actors, and she was happy to get to see what a small, intimate crew looked like.
Yeah, that would be like night and day.
Yeah. She also said that sort of watching the two characters completely change over the course of the movie, which I think is kind of the point of a movie, but whatever. And watching their relationship just completely dissolve was really interesting too.
That's fair. I mean, I guess it is the point of the movie, but it probably isn't that common that you come across a two-person movie that like is really just a character study on these two people and how they kind of devolve. So I could see how that would be interesting.
Sure.
I know they also said the scenes with the two other actors, because there's really only two other people in the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the scenes with them, they shot at the very end. So she was like, Rose Leslie in an interview was like, yeah, it was just, we were in our own little bubble this whole time, like just me and Harry and the crew. And then all of a sudden these new people come in and we were like, well, wait. So he said it was like even more weird because you'd been so isolated for so long that when new people came outside, it was just like a weird feeling.
Interesting. I didn't think that those two actors were even like necessary. I don't think that was necessary or relevant to the plot at all. And one of my biggest complaints with this movie is that like they did a good job, but a way too obvious job planting like red herrings.
I both agree and disagree with you.
Okay.
I disagree that they weren't necessary. I do think that they added to it because for one, it kind of gives you an idea that something's amiss. For me, way too obvious. Like when Annie comes out and is like, you have to leave. Like that was too much.
Yes.
Her character needed to be toned down a bit. Mm-hmm. It should have been much more subtle coming from her. But I did think that it was good to include them because I think it makes more sense why Paul isn't more concerned, because he already has an idea of what is going on because of this guy that she knows. So when he sees her bleeding, when he sees her naked, like he is making assumptions based on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that wouldn't have made sense without that.
Okay. Because they thought they were alone there. And
right. If they were completely alone and there was nobody else there, I think he would have put her in the car and taken her to the hospital immediately.
Sure.
But because of all of these elements coming together of, oh, she meets this guy that she used to know. They're very friendly. He's aggressive with his wife. And then all of a sudden his wife is naked and bleeding and acting very weird. And of course, like making up excuses not to have sex with him when they were previously a very sexual couple. I think all of that kind of does make sense to me.
Okay.
But I do agree, like, her character in particular, I think, needed to be toned down. It needed to be a lot more subtle. Like, we should have known that something was off with her, but maybe not as obvious of her just screaming, get out.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I think that there were still, like, Bea admitting that she had killed frogs and fish, that scene felt a little forced. Like, okay, you're dropping a hint that maybe she's, like, a killer or something. And then Paul coming at her with the rope or whatever and she ends up giggling, which it's cute, but you know what I mean? Those little, it was like they were trying to make us infer that something was going to happen that would, and to be clear, I never in a million years would have guessed from what the first act we would get in the third act like that. But yeah.
Yeah. There was one interview I read with Rose Leslie where she referred to it as kind of drip feeding the audience, where they really, she was like, we kind of just like gave little bits as they went.
But they weren't little. To me, they were too big.
Yeah, they weren't very, I think they were little, but they weren't very subtle.
Okay, yeah.
You mentioned what Rose Leslie thought was the most difficult to shoot. Mm-hmm. Janiak, in a different interview, said that she had two things that she felt were the most difficult. One, they had to do so many night shoots. Like, a lot of this movie takes place at night. And typically, when you shoot a movie, you have 12 hours of daylight to work with, right? Mm-hmm. You get 12 hours of shooting. Doing everything at night, they had 8 hours. So it's less time, because obviously it's spring. It's already daylight savings time. A lot of time restraints with that. And then two was, apparently they had a lot of rain. So they had to flip-flop a bunch of scenes because they couldn't shoot in the rain, and they got a lot of downpour. And originally they had wanted to shoot as much as they could in chronological order so that they could have that emotional continuity for the actors. Mm-hmm. Just was not possible at all. So they had to basically revamp all of the scenes that they were going to shoot because of the rain.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, one interviewer asked Rose Leslie specifically, did you shoot in sequential order? And she's like, nope. But that was all she said. She didn't explain it at all.
Yeah. Well, maybe she didn't know that everything was getting moved around behind the scenes. Although I guess he would, because your call sheets and everything.
Yeah, well, and like, it was such a tight-knit set. I mean, it was just the two of them. Who else are they going to hang out with, the crew?
Yeah. And apparently they all got together before shooting started officially, too. Janiak, Treadaway, and Leslie. Because they wanted to, like, establish the backstories and, like, put life into the characters. So they figured out where they're from and how many years they've been together and how close they are and all that kind of stuff.
Cute.
Yeah. I think it worked, but I also think it's interesting because they're so... There's not a lot of time in this movie that they're not at odds with each other. But I guess it does work because you have to establish that in order for you to, like, be unnerved by the fact that they're now almost opposing forces.
Sure.
Can I tell you what I thought was going to happen in this movie the first time I ever saw it?
Yes.
I thought it was going to be Cockgrass syndrome.
I don't know what that means. Sounds like
okay.
a goose.
If you're Katie or anybody listening, Cockgrass syndrome is a psychiatric disorder where someone has a delusion that a person that they love is an imposter.
Oh.
I thought, the first time I watched this, I was like, oh my God, like, does Paul think that she's not her and she actually is, and that's going to be like a twist?
Ooh.
And I still, to this day, think that would be a sick movie. So somebody make it, please.
Interesting.
Although maybe not, because, you know, psychiatric disorders, maybe don't put them on show.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was what I thought.
Who's to say it's not?
The tentacle coming out of her, I think.
What, because he's having delusions of his wife being a different person? He can't have delusions of a tentacle being pulled out of her?
Well, I think she also kills him, and then the focus kind of shifts to her POV at the end there, you know, so.
I guess.
I guess, you know, interpret it how you want.
I was trying to help.
Sorry. I didn't think that after what finishing it. I just, while it was happening, that's what I kept thinking was going to happen.
Sure, sure. I didn't know what to think, honestly. I was just so annoyed by Rose Leslie's acting in the first third. I was overwhelmed by it. I was like, ugh. Any other fun facts?
No. You?
No.
I do have one more thought, though.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The whole scene where he's like, where are the keys? Where are the keys? And she won't give him the keys.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't help but think about, you know, the iconic Get Out scene where he's like, where are the keys, Rose? Where are the keys?
Yeah.
And I think it's funny because in Get Out, he's asking the character Rose for the keys. And then in this movie, he's asking the actress Rose for the keys.
Oh, yeah.
How fun. Cute. What a cute little parallel there.
Yeah, that is cute. Wow, Jordan Peele never had an original idea in his life.
Don't just ever kidding, say that ever I'm in kidding. Your life.
I'm joking.
Podcast over.
You love Jordan Peele? He can do no wrong.
I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
Whenever I think of people taking keys from other people, I think of The Grinch and The Swinger Party. You know what I'm talking about?
No. Yes, when they're all putting the keys in the bowl.
Yeah, do you know why they do that?
Yeah, well, some people think it's because it's a swinger party, and some people think it's because, you know, safe driving.
Safe driving, right.
Yeah. What's not safe driving. No drunk driving.
Correct, yeah. No driving.
Yeah.
No driving.
No driving while drunk.
Yeah.
It's a party, so, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's much more fun to imagine that they were picking random keys to decide who to go home with.
I love that you love that.
Thank you. I love that movie.
Great movie. It's a great film.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's rate it. Not the Grinch. Honey.
Aw, let me just delete my...
How scary did you think it was?
I gave it a 1 out of 5. I don't remember being that scared by this movie, but I do know I gave it a little bump because I do think the idea of, like, watching your partner rehearse what they then say to you later is creepy. That would be really unnerving.
Sure.
Yeah. What about you?
I gave it a 1.5.
Okay.
For unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not scary, but...
It is definitely unsettling, for sure.
Yes.
How sexy did you think it was?
I'm gonna plead the fifth on this one. I think for the first time ever, I do not want my opinions of this movie's sexiness factor to be on the internet.
It's high, folks. It's high.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
The only reason you wouldn't answer.
I didn't say that.
It is not on record, but we all know.
Oh my god. What did you give it?
I gave it a 1.5.
That might have been what I said.
It clearly wasn't. I think, like, the beginning is cute. You know, they're a couple. There's obviously, like, they're having the sex. And then, like, the idea of aliens. But then she doesn't look so great at the end. So it kind of takes away from the sexiness of the aliens.
Sure.
Great.
How fucked up did you think it was?
I give it a 1.5. And pretty much all of that is for the tentacle scene. It just kept coming out. They just kept pulling it. It was a lot.
Yeah, and then the twitching.
Yeah. What about you? Did all of that just go to the sexy factor for you, or?
Just kidding. It didn't hurt it. I mean, like, the fucked upness was there. There just wasn't a lot of it.
Yeah.
So I gave it a 1.5.
We agree.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, Katie, overall, did you agree with the audiences or the critics for Honeymoon?
I think I kind of split them down the middle. This movie was solid. I did love the sort of open interpretation, but it's probably aliens. I guess it could have been monsters. It could have been supernatural, but it's probably aliens. I do think that Harry Treadaway did an amazing job, and Rose Leslie did a great job in the back half of the film. But her overacting in the beginning was really cringy for me. I don't know why, but I just don't think it justified her overacting by saying, oh, she has to be slowly going different. I think it could have been more subtle. Anyway, then I think there was too much of the spoon feeding, like I talked about earlier, where they're just trying to, like, throw you off. So the last thing you expect is an alien worm baby being taken out of places. But again, I never would have expected that. Nothing could have prepared me for that happening. So it felt kind of unnecessary. And then I said the other two characters were kind of unnecessary for me, but I do agree kind of with your point too. Anyway, it was fun. It was a fun watch for the shock factor. The vibes were definitely there. So I gave it a 3.
Okay. Yeah, like literally split it.
Yeah.
Right down the middle.
Yeah, 75 and 35. I gave it a 360.
Well, 76 and 44.
Close enough. How about you?
You were right. I agree with the critics more.
Yeah.
But not too much more. I gave it a 3.5.
Okay.
But so, like, around 70%, which is more so with critics.
Sure.
This is not a perfect movie. It feels low budget. It feels like someone's first film. I think that there's a lot of polishing that it could have used. But it's kind of one of those that it almost endears me to it a little bit more because of that. I don't know. It's kind of like Saw, again, where them shaking the car and flashing the lights. Like, I think that's kind of funny. Like, that doesn't deter me at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think overall I like this movie. I don't really know why audiences hated it so much, to be honest. Yeah, I think it's a fun cabin in the woods trope. The atmosphere is creepy. I think the main actors give a decent performance.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hannah Brown, love you, girl. All the love in the world. I do think Annie's character over the top, a little too much for me personally. But overall, I like this movie.
Yeah, it's fun.
I think it's fun.
It's fun. I agree. Yeah, I don't know what audiences are so up in arms about.
Yeah, get over yourself, audiences.
Seriously.
All right, would you survive?
No.
Okay.
And I'll leave it at that.
That's it? That's all we get?
I mean, I am going to get married.
Great.
We are going to go on a honeymoon.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say no to an alien.
Great. So you're her character. You kill your husband and live happily ever after.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Well, I don't know how happily she's living, but.
You live ever after.
Well, then I do survive?
Yeah.
I assume she dies.
Oh, okay. I mean, I think we can say, since this is always, would we survive the movie? Not would we survive forever, because obviously everybody's going to die.
I guess that's
she
true.
She is alive at the end of the movie.
Okay, well, then I live. Well, but is she her?
Yeah, that's true. Is it? Well, that's up to your interpretation.
Yeah, I think what she experiences is pretty close to death.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think I'm dead. I think I'm her and she is dead. She's not her anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I think there's still a little bit of her left.
Well, would you survive?
Maybe more sad, but
honestly.
Yeah, I think so, because I'm a woman. And it seems like they're just killing the guys, so even if I do get attacked by the aliens, in my interpretation, she's still alive at the end. Probably not well off, but kicking.
Okay.
Would you ever catch me taking my honeymoon to a cabin? No.
Yeah.
But that's a cop-out, so. I just don't think, though, I think I would need to know a little bit more information about how, I mean, I live even if I get possessed, but I don't even know if I would get possessed because how did that happen? We don't really get to see that from her point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did the bright lights come and she followed them out and that's how that happened? Or did it, like, call to her? We don't really know. If it was just a bright light and she went outside to see what was going on, I think I'm fine because I've never left my house to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Which is a real shame. I've had a lot of fun being nosy.
If I can't hear it through my door, it's none of my business.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Well, cool. All right. So we both kind of liked it.
Yeah.
More than you, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Only by a half a point. That's not even that much.
Yeah. Not as much as critics and audiences disparity.
Exactly. It's a very large disparity.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you want to predict next week's movie?
I don't think I get to. I think I know enough about this movie.
Mother?
Mother, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I know what Mother's about.
Okay.
It's the one with Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem.
Yes.
And it's an allegory for the human's destruction of Mother Earth.
Did you watch a YouTube video essay on this or something?
Maybe.
Yeah.
No, I did not. I've seen TikToks. I think it's kind of similar to like Honeymoon in that their characters just had a baby together and they go on a trip and there's a home invasion vibe where a ton of people come and take Jennifer Lawrence's baby. And then the husband doesn't care for some reason. Like he's just like not helping her. And that's the end of the movie. And then people get mad about, oh my God, what a stupid movie on social media because they totally miss the point that it's about the literal destruction of the earth. And the irony of that. And then they, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
All right.
I am not looking forward to watching this movie.
I do want to remind you that you told me to put it on the list.
I know.
I said, what should go here? And you said, Mother. And I said, why? You don't want to watch that. And you said, well, I don't want to watch it, but I probably should.
Yeah.
No one told you that you needed to. You said that you needed to.
Yeah.
Can I tell you too? I half expected you to have forgotten that you requested that.
And I do
for me
remember.
To say it and you'd be like, I don't want to watch that. So I literally had a backup movie just in case you said no.
Oh, that's funny.
I was like, just in case, I'm going to put this here. So that's how cool and thoughtful I am. You're welcome.
Wow. Thank you for that. What was the backup movie? There's still time for me to decide.
You'd have to predict it right now. And then I'd have to splice it when we actually do watch the movie. It'd be too much, annoying. Katie. It'd be Bye. Too much. Bye. Plus, it's not on the list for this year, so I can't say it. And then people be like, oh my God, I want to hear that episode. And then we not do it this year. And then it's like, oh, okay, you know.
I guess that's true.
You'll never know.
Well, tune in next week for Mother! Exclamation point.
Please do. Feel free to like and subscribe if you are enjoying the content.
Or
engage with every single post we've ever done. If you want me to DM you what movie I had as backup.
Yeah, there you go.
We do take engagement as payment and as bribes. So.
Yes. Like, subscribe, and comment.
Yeah, if you want the in, I'll DM you. I'm shameless. Go for it.
Love that.
All right. Well, that's it. That's all we have on Honeymoon. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you haven't watched it, give it a go. Maybe you'll like it. Maybe you'll hate it. And then you can be mad at us and you can tell us in the comments. Engagement farming. And then next week, you can come back when we talk about Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem's Mother. Oh my God, I can't say a word to save my life. This is the worst exit ever. Bye.
Bye.